We're on Jazz Street with a couple of friends who are here because they got a couple of things happening in their lives, like a show tonight and tomorrow. Julian Margot, Jeffrey Keezer, welcome back to Rochester.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
So the last time we spoke, it was a kid ago. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Yeah, that was a minute and a half, I think. Yeah. My goodness. Wow, I didn't realize it had been that long.
So yeah, talk about life, juggling life as a mom and being an artist and all that jazz.
Well, I think it's like most parents, musician parents, you know, you travel, you have your child with you, you know, whenever you can. But I'm happy to see that I'm not the only one. I see, you know, Linda Mahano doing it. I see Roxy Koss doing it. We all just kind of make it work. That's what moms do. And dads too.
Yeah, same thing for you, Jeffrey. Last time we spoke in person.
Yeah. That's true. And it's funny because, you know, you see a dad on the plane with a kid and everyone's like, ooh, super dad, you know, you're doing it. And you just expect, you know, the moms to handle it. But, you know, we make it work and we bring him along and he hangs out at their sound checks. And, you know, I don't know if he likes the music or not, but it doesn't matter, you know.
So give us an idea for tomorrow's show at Max's, doing two sets, and give us an idea of what music will be in the band. Will it just be the two of you, or what's it going to be like?
Yeah, it is just the two of us. It's a project that we do from time to time. It's a combination of familiar Great American Songbook tunes, contemporary pop covers, some original music. It's just a whole hodgepodge of stuff, but we figure there'll be something in there for everybody, you know.
And for you, Jillian, what I love is how you can choose things from Portishead to Stevie Wonder and everything else in between. So how do you create a set list to make it work for you?
Honestly, I think a lot of the time it just comes down to what I feel like in the moment, and then I look at, like, you know, variety of creating kind of a shape for the show. So I know that for here, and, you know, we were just in Ottawa, Canada, for the Jazz Festival there a couple days ago, and what we've been doing is, like, a little bit of Hermeto Pascoal out of Brazil. We're doing, you know, some jazz standards. We're doing a little bit of Chick Corea, some Sam Jones, some original, you know, Julian Margot and Jeffrey Keezer stuff. But really, it just comes down to, I think, you know, what works in the moment, how we feel, and again, like, giving people a variety, you know.
Jeffrey, for you, talk about why it's important for people to start using the Great American Songbook post-1955, using the rock era, using the soul era, because a lot of folks are still reluctant to do that, but the music that we grew up with, those are our standards.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, you know, if you talk about someone like Stevie Wonder, who is his own genre, really, I mean, he absolutely should be part of that Great American Songbook. In fact, I think that when you're born, I have this theory that they play, you know, songs in the key of life, and if you don't respond to it as a baby, they put you in an incubator and sort of pipe that music in for a couple of weeks until they determine you're ready to enter the human race, you know. I mean, there's a lot of great songs have been written since the 50s and 60s, and sometimes they're a little harder to find. You got to dig a little deeper, but they're there, and we like to find them and do them if they're worth doing. So,
Jeff, I'd be remiss. We have Steve Davis coming in later this week. So talk about the legacy of Art Blakey for you and working in that world and being part of that universe.
Yeah, it's interesting because Steve and I were both in the very last band that Art had in 1989 and 1990. So we just got the very tail end of it. But, you know, one thing that my generation, it's sort of, unfortunately, you know, some of the younger players, they don't have a chance to go and hear musicians like Art Blakey or you know, Elvin Jones or Philly Joe or Jimmy Cobb or, you know, Roy Haynes or people like that so much live and or Tony Williams and sit 5 feet from the drums and feel what that felt like. So, you know, part of that was just being able to be in the room with those musicians and obviously being on stage with someone like Art Blakey, that feeling permeates you and kind of stitches itself into your DNA and you carry it with you your whole life. So in a way, I feel like responsible to the younger musicians to just try to share a little bit of what that feeling was about and what the energy and intention behind that music was about, you know?
So that being said, as an educator, Jeffrey, trying to instill that passion that Art had and the elder, our elders had for this music, it's an oral tradition. So how do you instill an oral tradition in a conservatory setting?
Well, one thing is you have to be holistic about it. You have to look at the entire culture that it came from. It's not just notes and chords and you have to play this note correctly on this scale, you know, because when you look at the overall picture of Black American music. I mean, I'm not an expert, but I've been at least invited, you know, to have a seat at the table. And it's, there's much, you know, a lot of times the theory doesn't quite always work out. There's not, it's not just, it's not, it's an imperfect system. And someone's music, like, let's say, Wayne Shorter or Duke Ellington, this music is constantly evolving with the artists that do it. And someone like Duke Ellington, he played something like Take the A-Train or Satin Doll 50 different ways throughout his career. And Wayne Shorter's, his tunes changed, and Miles Davis's music changed. So it's a living, breathing, constantly evolving art form that I'm really proud to be part of. Here's the little guy.
Like, sociocultural context of this music is extremely important, and I think that that's something that people sometimes forget. They think of jazz, you know, existing in this bubble of a particular era that might be their favorite era of jazz. But, you know, as time goes on and times change and people's change, whatever's happening, artists always reflect that. You know, that's our job. So certainly the great composers did that, and it's our job to kind of continue that tradition as much as possible.
So, Jeffrey, I know you're getting ready for your show tonight, so give us an idea for you what's going to be like to play with Joe and, you know, just that whole
Tommy
world
Smith,
and Tommy
yeah.
Smith.
Yeah, well, the three of us have never performed together as a unit before.
Really?
We've played separately. Joe and I have been playing together in various groups over the years for many years. And Tommy Smith is someone who I've collaborated with a little bit, but mostly as an arranger and composer. He runs a band in Scotland called the Scottish National Jazz Orchestra, and I've been one of his staff writers for about 15, 17 years now. But it's going to be a lot of fun playing with them in a trio, which we've never done before. So
can't wait to check it out.
Yeah, me too.
Well, thanks so much again for doing what you guys do, and really appreciate it. And congratulations again on the next generation.
Thank you. Nice to see you again.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.